Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. Before we get into today's podcast, just a quick note, we've got the next instalment of the UK Investor Magazine virtual conferences coming up next Wednesday, the 7th of December. And it's going to be Tech Capital and Power Metal Resources presenting. So if you're not yet signed up, do check out the notes to this podcast, as well as the events section on the UK Investor Magazine website, where you'll be able to find a link to sign up for free for that event. So today's podcast, we're going to be looking at the markets. We're going to be looking at a couple of UK equities. And to do that once more, we have with us Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Morning, John. Good to be back.
So, Alan, we were speaking last week and the topic was really around, you know, what the FTSE 100 could do going forward as the UK looks to be entering or already in a recession. And, you know, we explored the notion that indeed the FTSE 100 could be breaking to all-time highs at a time that the UK is in a recession. And, you know, one of the main reasons that we looked at for that was China. And, you know, obviously what's happening over there on the last weekend, it does really suggest and really highlight the importance of what's happening in the world's second largest economy here in London. Because looking at what the FTSE 100 has done this morning, Alan, it's peaked out at around 75.40. If we have to go back to August, where we saw a high of 75.50. So it's made some, you know, pretty astounding gains from the lows that we saw that were below 7,000 in recent months. And it's really being driven this morning by what's happened in China over the weekend. Of course, there were protests there. You know, it's not unusual to see protests in China, but what was unusual was that there were calls for their leader to stand down and for the Communist Party to stand down there, which, of course, were massive concerns for markets yesterday. But what we've seen overnight is there's a massive police presence there. So those protests have died down somewhat. But there has been a reaction. Of course, these protests were really people coming out onto the street to protest against how the Chinese government was dealing with the COVID outbreak there. They were still seeing record COVID numbers there. But, you know, there was, you know, the tragic news of a fire in a tower block that killed many people. And, you know, there's reports, I've seen reports on social media of, you know, people being barricaded in their flats. That obviously brought people out onto the streets. But it looks as though the Chinese authorities are taking note, because just this morning I saw reports on Bloomberg that they're actually going to be looking at ramping up vaccines for the over 65s, which are an underrepresented section of the economy there, which haven't actually got particularly high rates of vaccination. So that's caused a big move in markets. You know, we're looking at the China exposed companies leading the way in the FTSE 100, of course, the miners, Prudential. If you look at a lot of the Chinese focused investment trusts listed in London, very strong performance from them. So it looks as though, Alan, we're moving away from this inflation story. We've been talking about inflation all year, you know, and markets may be focusing on growth, but, you know, is that a blip, do you feel, Alan, or do you think that we could see a sustained change in the narrative towards one where markets are focusing on the underlying growth figures as opposed to inflation figures and what central banks are going to be doing next?
Well, of course, John, if China really is making moves to try and get to grips with the vaccine issue, I saw some data yesterday actually on the efficacy of the CoronaVac. That's the Chinese vaccine, which I think is at about 70%, has 70% efficacy. The Pfizer BioNTech solution, of course, is much more efficacious. It's a 90% success rate. But certainly, I think the Chinese authorities, given the wave of protests and the scale of the protests too, have to address the issue. And I think you know, with calls for Xi Jinping to stand down, it's a pretty brave it's a pretty brave person that does that in China nowadays. But I think the Chinese are seeing, you know, with Iran, the wave of protests in Iran about over female rights in Iran, the world is changing. So, of course, what that will mean is that if the Chinese government focuses on rolling out this vaccine, then the economy will recover quicker, with all of the implications that has for stocks and funds that are focused on that region. And as we know, it's the world's powerhouse. It consumes more raw materials than any other country in the world. And once the economy returns and the pace of growth continues in China, that's the expansion, both the expansion in terms of building and infrastructure and modernization of this vast country, it's going to feed across to every indices across the world. So I think the strength we're seeing certainly in the FTSE and in the across the other indices is reflective of that. They're going to be bumps along the road, of course. You know, we've seen some pretty shocking scenes over the weekend with people carted away from protesting, and the Chinese government now saying they've taken notes, that they've noted all the people that have attended, and they'll be following up on that, which sounds pretty ominous. But you can put out a little fire here and there, but you can't put out a blaze of opinion and a wave of opinion from the populace. You know, given that this is so visible on global media nowadays, the Chinese government will have to change their outlook on this. So it is positive for the economy. And as you rightly say, you know, the focus is now starting to move away from inflation. You know, on the domestic front, of course, we've already had indications from the Bank of England that the expected peak for interest rates will be 4.5% next year, not the initial 6% that was initially cited. You know, it's not going to be a party. We're in recession and it's going to hurt. But I think, you know, given the numbers that we're seeing from some of the major companies reporting now, of course, you know, these numbers are backward looking in a sense, but I think we can take some comfort from that. And we can see that the valuation of the FTSE is being supported by earnings growth and companies delivering on the forecasts that were made early this year or even late last year.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I think that story is going to play out for the rest of this year. I mean, just going back to China, it's, you know, the leader there had some questions raised about what his agenda was going to be when he was confirmed for his third term there. But just looking at the reaction in the last week, they cut their RRR rate, which will mean that the banks are able to inject more cash into the economy. And as a reaction to the protests over the weekend, they've really sort of looked into what the issues are there. And, you know, of course, it's, I don't know what's going to happen to some of those people that were out on the street, but the authorities definitely listened to them and, you know, looking at really rolling out the vaccines in a big way really tells the global markets that China are still focused on the economy and still focused on growth. And, you know, that's really playing out in markets this morning. And obviously, just add to what you said there, you know, the Federal Reserve looking at a slower rate of pace of rates going forward. You know, that's a big positive for markets. So we could well have a Santa rally, Alan. I mean, that's something we'll discuss in December. But you know, it looks like we're setting up. You know, that there's a few things that are aligning at the moment, yep, which are looking a little bit positive.
Yeah, it could be good. And I think if we can see. I think the retail sector seeing a splurge of spend over the next few weeks, then I think that'll give a lot of encouragement to markets and to the population in general. You know, looking forward into next year, it's not going to be an easy ride, and I expect there'll be a lot of profit warnings after Christmas and in the trading statement from retailers. But you know, if we can have that splurge in the run up to Christmas, it'll certainly help the help sentiment and help propel us into next year.
Indeed, indeed. So, Alan, now let's move on to the first stock we're going to discuss today, EasyJet. Now, looking at the share price, it doesn't really reflect the headline number here because they actually had a record quarter. But, you know, obviously with all of these reports, the devil's in the details. So what have EasyJet said this morning, Alan?
Well, as you rightly say, John, I mean, record numbers, you know, full year revenues up from $1.5 billion to nearly $6 billion as the travel restrictions eased. Capacities up to 81 from 28 million seats to 81 million seats. And load factor is also up 13 points to 85.5%. So that's, you know, that's really that's the litmus test to see just how effective the airlines are in selling their seats, and that's pretty good. And you know, that looking at the performance over the year, the company reported an underlying loss of $178 million even so, but that's versus a loss of $1.1 billion last year. And of course, the company has been hit by weaker sterling in the wake of the Brexit, in the wake of Brexit, and also, of course, the Truss and Kwarteng debacle. But cash flow is up, certainly looking forward, inflationary pressures are expected to ease next year. You know, I mentioned just now that, of course, you know, we could be looking at this sort of inflation having peaked, and with a focus now shifting onto growth. But even so, it's hard to call going forward. Obviously, EasyJet isn't paying a dividend at the moment. Share prices, well, the shares have been as high as 7.30p on the year, as low as 2.77p. Currently trading at 3.73p, a little off on the numbers this morning, 2% down on the numbers this morning, but that's not unusual for a major company reporting nowadays. You'll often see the old adage, buy the rumor, sell the news, as investors sell out on the numbers. And of course, we've got this uncertainty going forward. Although we don't have the COVID restrictions at the moment, there's always the possibility that we could get a new variant along, and there could be partial lockdowns again. But I think looking at the way the government's handled the vaccine crisis, and, you know, we mentioned that the efficacy of the vaccines just now, the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine, extremely effective, over 90% efficacy rates. And of course, those are being rolled out now. The fourth boosters are being rolled out. But certainly, looking forward to next year, I think if we do get, if we have an inverted commas normal winter season, then of course people will be looking to book their holidays next year and get away regardless. And it's really just a question of available income, perhaps the deals and the packages that are on offer from the airlines. And of course, given EasyJet is good at selling those seats and getting the load factors up on each plane, then it could be, given the numbers that is reported for the last year, we could see those numbers improve, and of course a return to profit, which would put it on a different footing altogether. There could even then at some stage be a return to the dividend. I mean, in my view on the shares now, if I held the shares, which I don't, I would continue to hold them. I probably wouldn't buy them right now, but certainly given that they are towards year lows, I think at some point, as we move into next spring, they could offer a decent buying opportunity for an uplift over the summer months.
Indeed, indeed. I mean, one thing that stands out for me is EasyJet did raise a hell of a lot of cash during the struggles of the pandemic. And, you know, sort of looking at what, you know, it's been a really tough time for them. And of course, they had the pandemic, and they come out into an inflationary environment, which is eroding their customers' spending and discretionary spending. So just getting themselves back on track, and, you know, it's a bit of a kick in the teeth. You know, looking at their balance sheets, I think any weakness in these shares is something that's, you know, definitely warrants putting them on a watch list, because, you know, there's always going to be a desire, and I can't see anything changing for this, for people to travel. And, you know, companies like EasyJet are the facilitator of that, and with the capacity that they've got there, they can you know, reduce it, increase it as they see fit, as they have done. So, You know, they can be fairly flexible. They've got through some very, very tough times. So any weakness, I think, in EasyJet does warrant having a harder look into the numbers of this company.
Up on that point, John. EasyJet has one of the best and strongest balance sheets across its peer group, if you like. So that's certainly something to take into account. But certainly the chief exec, Johan Lundgren, was very bullish about the opportunities next year. They're targeting customer growth, well-placed to drive returns and margins whilst controlling those costs carefully. But they're ready to take opportunities. So, you know, if there is an upswing in demand, then EasyJet can instantly move in with its big marketing war chest and just pick up the business that's there. Certainly, it's got probably the strongest brand of the low cost airlines and the strongest balance sheet for sure going forward for sure.
Indeed. So we're going to finish off, Alan, with a company. It's more acquisitions. It's a SPAC, of course. You know, some years ago, SPACs were all the rage. So it looks as though they've potentially got a deal on the table.
Indeed. So this is I recorded an interview with Doc Holliday last week, and I do actually hold these I hold these shares and the warrants that came with it, and it's a fascinating story. And again, the SPAC story has been well aired on many shows and many podcasts, of course, John. But more acquisitions does seem to have an extremely exciting opportunity on its hands. It announced on the 23rd of September this year that it was the proposed acquisition of Megasteel, and of course the suspension of trading in its stock. And the shares were basically suspended at 0.9p. The company announced that it had signed heads of terms to acquire 100% of the issued share capital of Megasteel, which has been looking for a listed vehicle for some time. Of course, that's the great thing with a SPAC. It's listed. All of the hoops and hurdles that you have to go through to list a vehicle, those have all been completed by the company. Megasteel is going to be valued through the acquisition between 49 and 63 million. And this company has been around for over 30 years. It's one of the largest stockholders and distributors of high quality steel that's used in pre-stressing and post-tensioning of concrete. And this is, it's a key building material. But as opposed to manufacturing, it's in effect a broker, and the company's been doing this for 30 years. It basically sources the steel and gets it out to suppliers. It's got a very efficient business, and the profits that the company make are pretty substantial. In the last year ended 31st October 2021, Megasteel reported audited pre-tax profits of 3 million. On turnover of just over 20 million. So, you know, it's a very, very strong business. And I know, speaking to Doc and a few others who've spoken to the chief exec, Nigel Roberts, he's very matter of fact. He doesn't use any more language that's needed other than to describe the business. You know, we get the steel, we sell it on, and we make profits that way, and that's what they've been doing for 30 years. The fit for more acquisitions for them as their listed vehicle of choice, he said, was pretty well a slam dunk. So it's an exciting business. So the acquisition will issue these new shares at 2.25p. So there's considerable uplift on the closing price of 0.9p, and there'll also be some warrants that will chime in with that too. And of course, those warrants will be in the market pretty well from day one. So it's a very exciting play. Obviously, when it completes, we don't know yet. But given that this announcement was made on the 23rd of September, it will probably take a couple of months to complete. But certainly, given the timing, given the fact that we're emerging from COVID, given that economies are recovering. And of course, we have this backlog from COVID where economies across the world just stopped dead. So there's a nascent demand there that will need to be addressed. And by the sound of it, given Megasteel's history, its network of distribution, it's going to be in a very strong position to address that.
Indeed, indeed. Of course, these type of plays are only for that adventurous investor. But, you know, sort of looking at the underlying business there, there could be some value to be had for those investors that like to get involved in such deals. So just as a recap of the stocks that we discussed today, first of all, was EasyJet with a ticker of EZJ. And just then was More Acquisitions with a ticker of TMOR. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, John.
So just as a reminder to the note I made at the beginning of the podcast, do sign up to the virtual conference coming up on the 7th of December on the UK Investor Magazine website in the events section, or do check out the notes to this podcast. Thank you very much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.